Today's title is When Innocence is Destroyed. When Innocence is Destroyed. Subtitle is Our Culture. Let's lift up the Word of God. Dan, would you lead us? Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 33, verse 12. This will be the crux of it, and then we will go off the grid. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chooses for his inheritance." This week I've had a very difficult time in sitting before the Lord and really trying to get his mind about some stuff with all the bad things that are happening in the world. I can only rejoice in that scripture that he gave to me this morning that I shared with you. And then the prophetic word came through tongues and interpretation of tongues. And what we really need to realize is that I received that word before God used his vessel through Jess to share. And we need to really consider where we are in our walk with Jesus Christ. As we prepare our families for the coming school year, I was wondering about our culture and our nation and our society and how it's taking this downward spiral. I call it a death spiral. And what we see in our society is how our spiritual and moral fabric as a people is being rent. I finished two books this week. One was called Not a Fan, and the other one was called Gods at War. And it's nothing that I haven't been preaching, but it really sits home to the depth of how deluded we, the church, have become. And so what I see is that as the condition of the church decreases in its vibrancy and in its holiness, so goes society. You may say, well, that there is just a correlation to how society is affecting the church. And I would say, yeah, that is true. Because now the cart is before the horse. We should be affecting society. And if society is so corrupt, how corrupt is the church? And because society and our culture is spinning out of control, I've had to take a look at the church. And I look at the church not just in streams, I look at the church worldwide. And what I see is a church that is MIA, that's missing in action. I see a church that have a group of believers who are doing their own thing. They're not doing what God has called them to do. Or they're not even on the same page. You can't tell who's a believer and who's not a believer because the influence is so negative that what we do is we water down the conditions of our holiness and righteousness to appease the world, to be acceptable to the world. And what Hebrews 12 is telling us is that we should be worshiping God in all acceptability. We've accepted his terms for surrender. We have been conditioned to want to walk in the ways of God. And what we see today is because we're seeing this reverse action happening in Christendom, is that a nation, America, a nation that proudly proclaimed that we were a Christian nation, that we followed after God, was strong and mighty and powerful, is no longer doing that. And because of that, our adversaries are rising up and spitting in our face because, one, they don't believe that we have the ability any longer or the moral and fortitude to carry out anything that we say. Two, our allies don't trust us anymore and thereby isolating us as a nation. And the problem in that is because the church has fallen asleep, there is a lack of vigilance to the onslaught of evil that is at our doors, in the midst of our congregations. And what is at stake is the innocence of our children. Really think about this. Because I have been all week. In Genesis 4, we have the first conflict. And what is happening right now is just a mirror in a smaller degree to the conflict between good and evil. And in Genesis 4, it talks about Cain and Abel. We know the story of Cain and Abel. We know that Cain and Abel were the firstborn sons of Adam and Eve. We know that Adam and Eve had committed sin, and they had been taken out of the garden. Why? Because they deviated from the Word of God. They didn't do what God had prescribed for them to do in the Genesis 1:28 mandate. The Edenic mandate was to go forth, multiply, take dominion, and rule the earth, which is what we have in Jesus Christ. Many in the church today believe contrary to that, and it really causes my heart to be in pain about that. And because of it, and because of our lack of diligence, we don't have warriors of the Most High engaging the enemy either in the highways and byways or on their knees to do battle in the heavenlies. What has happened? What started this conflict was there was a time when Cain and Abel brought an offering to God. We know that Abel was a shepherd, and we know Cain was a farmer. We know that God accepted Abel's offering, but he looked at and inspected everything about Cain's offering to the point that he did not accept it. Why do you think that was? Why do you think that God said, "All right, Abel, what you're offering me is good, but Cain, what you're offering me is what you feel is good enough"? Why do you think that is? If you read back at the Genesis account, God cursed the earth. So anything we offer from our own efforts, when we till the land, when we build this, when we do certain things, it is not good enough for God. God makes provision even in our offerings that is excellent. He does this. He did it from the beginning. It wasn't just the account of killing an animal to cover Adam and Eve. And of course we know that the killing, the shedding of innocent blood, covers a multitude of sins. And we know that Christ exemplifies that He is our atoning sacrifice for us. But the problem in there is that I believe the church has forgotten or isn't paying attention to the awesomeness of God Almighty and our responsibility to Him. And because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, their sin affected future generations. Even today, their sin affects us. And what had happened was that Cain became angry with God. He was angry with his brother. And God tried to warn him and said that, you know, if you persist and you do good, I will accept you. In other words, if this wasn't acceptable, I've made provision. All you need to do is make that provision that I've made for you acceptable to me, and I'll accept you. But Cain didn't do that. Cain got into an argument with his brother over doctrine. I'm adding that. And in the end, what had happened was he slew his brother. And so that conflict is raging even today within the church. We have to understand that the offering that a person gives to God is actually an extension of their attitude towards God and to the things of God. If we are not giving to God, God is gracious and He will give to us. But there comes a time when we enter into from grace into mercy. And after mercy, there's punishment. And we see this all through the scriptures that Israel, time and time again, entered into grace, extended through God's mercy, they were punished. Just like a father does with his children. That eventually your disobedience is going to cause me to bring correction to you. Unfortunately, this attitude of good enough has permeated the church so much so that it has affected our ability to discern. It has affected our ability to give to God in excellence. Because He's given us His best. He only expects that in return. He doesn't expect more of us. He expects what He has given to be given in like term. And because of Cain's attitude, God tried to warn him that sin would always be at his doorstep. And we see shortly after God had said that, that he murdered his brother. Let's fast forward 6,000 years to today. Sin is not at the doorstep anymore. Sin is in the midst of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So sin is in the midst of us. And the only way that we know to eradicate sin is confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by His blood, and repentance of that sin doesn't just mean to just mouth it to God. It means to also forsake it for God. And what we have in the church today is a repentance without forsaking. And so sin is now permeated into the church. It has diluted the church in such a way that apathy, selfishness, lack of care for brothers and sisters has turned the church away from God. And that concerns me. It concerns me because we are in the last days. We are in the midst of a tremendous shaking that is going on. But we do not fear what God is doing. We know that this has to be. Let me give you a brief history of the last 50 years of what has happened. In the 1960s, one atheist petitioned Congress to remove prayer out of the schools. Marilyn O'Hare. And she was successful in removing God from the consciousness of our kids. And because of that, we have the abuse, fear, and insecurity that is mounting within our educational system. And God is nowhere allowed to be there. Because she stood on this false doctrine of separation of church and state, which there is no place in that. But because our government is corrupt, and because we have evil God haters in our government, they jumped in on this thing and removed God from the schools. That was just one person. And what has happened is our religious and our moral fabric began to tear. We as a people allowed sin to come in to a place where immorality and unholiness and unrighteousness is undermining our foundation as a people. And it is systematic. Again, what is at risk because of the apathy of the church is future generations. Our children and our grandchildren are severely at risk. In the last 20 years, evil demonic forces have targeted our churches in trying to push all the sheep into the church, while at the same time murdering our kids in the schools. Columbine was the first one, and Sandy Hook was just the most recent one. And there was a whole plethora of assaults that kids and adults have done to murder kids in our school system. We have to understand that this is because the church hasn't stood up. This is because the church hasn't been doing her job in taking authority and dominion and rebuking evil where evil has manifested itself. To a place where evil now tells us what to do and we don't listen to God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The wages of sin is death. And so this condition is now murdering the innocence of our children, our grandchildren, and even possibly our great-grandchildren. If the church doesn't take serious its responsibility before our Holy Father to get involved and engage this society. In the last 50 years, we have seen the fall of Christian Judeo values only to be replaced by political correctness and total immorality, impurity, and anything else that wickedness can call its own. There was a time, and I can remember it, when I could walk down the street and I could say hi to somebody and they would cordially say hi to me. We all believed everybody was saved. And so We didn't have a fear of one another. Today, if you say hi to somebody, you may get a grunt or they may look at you like you're crazy. Today, if you wish somebody Merry Christmas, you're not allowed to do that anymore. What you find today is now Christ is one of many other gods that has to have equal time in people's lives. And so, if that doesn't concern you, it should. Because what's at stake is your children, your grandchildren, and everyone else. Because when you remove God from the consciousness of a society, you have death. Because the scripture says, how blessed is a nation. We are no longer blessed as a nation. What has been happening is there has been greater demonic influence of territorial spirits like Leviathan and Jezebel, ordering a host of demons to influence people who are still in darkness, and even the church, those who are falling asleep because they don't think this is happening. Isaiah the prophet spoke to the nation in Isaiah 6, and he gave a word of warning to them, which mirrors our decline today. Israel's society was totally corrupt, from the priesthood to the king to normal people. They looked elsewhere for security and provision. They did not look to God. Today, we look to other gods for leadership, provision, power, scrutiny, security, wisdom. And it was prophesied in Exodus 20, verse 3. We have become lukewarm, apathetic, backslidden, and void of any real prayer. Our attitude is one of escape rather than occupy till Christ returns. And you can find out where people are when they start talking about rapture and they can't wait till rapture comes. Well, when rapture comes, we should still be working in Father's fields till it comes. We know it's coming. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse to stop working and doing the things that God has told us to do. And what it has happened, the door is flung wide open and all kinds of evil and wickedness come in unopposed and is suppressing the righteous people of God when it should be the other way around. Our attitude has left our next generation in want. And because of our sinful attitude of non-engagement, it leaves society going to hell in a handbasket. When was the last time you shared your faith in Jesus Christ with someone? When did you tell somebody that it was evil to do whatever? When was the last time you turned the channel from the pornography that's being blasted on the tube? When was the last time you led somebody to Jesus Christ? Where was Adam and Eve when Cain and Abel were fighting? They weren't in the account. Where's the church when all this is going on? Charles Finney, who was part of the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening in America, and this cut me to the core, has said, quote, society falters because it is not under conviction of sin by the word, and its fault lies squarely in the pulpits. I'm identifying myself as part of the problem. I am not saying then I'm holier than you and doing the right thing. I take seriously what this man of God has said, and I have been convicted. What has changed? What has changed in the world? Let me give you 10 things that have changed in the world. One, video games are now homeschooling our children in violence, rape, murder, and disrespect to authority, while eliminating social skills needed to cope with conflict properly. That's just the kids. That's not even the adults that are addicted to this nonsense. TV models to our culture what's normal. What's normal? Immorality, rebellion, and an alternative lifestyles. Where's the church? Three, reality shows reveal how vividly immoral we are as society. I saw a show the other day as I was flipping through. It was Naked Dating. And I was like, what the world is this? And I only had it on long enough. The people were fully clothed, but their next thing was they had to strip down, be bare naked, and then they came in to meet each other. I'm like, how retarded is that? And people are watching this in hopes that they can get a thrill out of this. This is wickedness. This is evil. It's pornographic. And we as a society are embracing this. Four, Hollywood separates this breakdown of culture by promoting evil and wickedness, violence, vampires, occult training, witchcraft, and death. Look at what's going on in the movies, TV. It's all fantasy. And when something good comes out, people flock to it. Why? Because they don't want this garbage. But the world is slowly changing its moral basis and its moral compass in such a way that we're losing ourselves. Music. Our music is terrible. But what's terrible is music is glorifying a gangster lifestyle by demeaning women, glorifying drugs, materialism, and cop killing. That's what our music is. Oh, but Pastor, got a good beat. You know, I'm hanging. I'm feeling it, dude. But it's polluting your spirit. It's causing you to die without you realizing it. Of these five things, here's the result of these things. An increase in illegitimate births has now made us a nation of bastards without fathers. Black illegitimate births, 72.3%. as of last year. Native American birth, illegitimate birth, 66.2%. Hispanics, 53.3%. Caucasians, white people, 29.1%. And Asians is 17.2%. And it is going up from there. It is not going down. What is happening to our society? Our society is looking to government for protection, provision that are known as entitlements. Drugging our kids with drugs that have serious side effects. My kid has this condition. Give me a drug so I can calm them down. Yoga and Hindu spiritualism has replaced Christian prayer in schools. That's not including Wicca, witchcraft, channeling, you name it. It is going on and your kids are involved in it and you don't even know it. Government is made up of mostly liberal and political correct people, resulting in weak leadership. Homosexuals wanting and winning the right to redefine what marriage is and allowed to marry. What an abomination to God. Something that is holy, the enemy is trying to force feed into society. And that's just the world. What's happened in the church? Church entertainment has replaced Holy Spirit and power. I come to church to be entertained. Tithing has resulted into paying an admission so I can be entertained. And I've asked people, how was church today? Oh, it was great. What did the preacher preach on? I don't know, but it must have been good. Pastors, stop preaching about the blood, the cross, the cost, sin, immorality, repentance, and homosexuality. False ascension gifts, that's fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. False ascension gifts, doctrines of demons, wizardry, New Age mysticism, and Chrislam. If you've ever heard of any abomination, that's the merging between Christ and Islam in the church. Seeker-friendly churches are producing shallow worldly believers, replacing the gospel of the kingdom to invade, occupy, and take dominion with feel-good messages of self-worth and self-help. I just know your pain. God loves you, and you know, His grace is going to take care of you. Ordination of homosexuals into the priesthood. An abomination. Coming to church for personal blessings instead of spiritual training. Why do you come to church? Bless me. Pastor, pray for me. Bless me. Bless me. And that's what we have. And that's the fastest growing segment in the church today, outside of the Pentecost. Sermonettes of grace replacing sermons on service, sacrifice, and love to God and to His people. That's what's happening in the church now. Is this what we're teaching our kids? Is this what we're modeling? Is it on the TV and we say to our kids, turn that garbage off, it's polluting a holy, righteous atmosphere? Or are we just, it's no big deal. Because that's what apathy is. It's not my job to go, I need to be a friend with my kids. It's pastor's job, it's the deacon's job, it's the elder's job, it's the Sunday school teacher who needs to give them instruction. Think again. We exist here to assist you. Because you see, you have been given that child. It is your responsibility to lead them into a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our job to come alongside of you and help hold your hands up as a parent. Turn to Hosea 4. We're almost done. Hosea 4, verse 6. And this is what the Lord is saying. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest, because you have ignored the laws of your God. I also will ignore your children. Now we're into generations now. Not only is he rejecting us, he's rejecting the next generation. The more the priests increase, the more they sin against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but have not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. What he's talking about here is idol worship, idolatry, spiritual prostitution. Verse 11, to old wine and new, which taken away the understanding of my people. They will consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray, and they are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and timberbeth, while in the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. What he's talking about is a spiritual condition, because we are so inept that in the physical realm, our daughters will become harlots and our wives, our daughter-in-laws, will be adulterers because they don't have love in their homes. I will punish your daughters, and when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-laws when they commit adultery, but because the men themselves consorted with harlots and sacrificed with shrine prostitutes, a people without understanding will come to ruin. Hosea was describing our destruction as a nation, as a people. You may think that this was just against Israel, and it was. But understand, Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, is an example to what is happening today. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. The only way that this can turn around, the only way, is that we have personal repentance and national repentance. It's the only way. We can pray. We can meet at the flagpole. We can do all that pretentious nonsense. But until we get real with God, personally and collectively as a people, He's not hearing from heaven. He's not. Because we've turned our back on God and not been willing to repent of the evil, we don't recognize our enemy, and we haven't learned how to defeat him. Ephesians 6:12. Because we haven't recognized our enemy, we do not understand the power and authority that has been delegated to us, nor are we interested in it, according to Matthew 16:18-19. We have been given the power to bind and loose. But we need to be on our knees doing it and then exercising our power and authority by faith in the way we walk. We're not setting the captives free, according to Luke 10:17-20. And we don't use the weapons of our warfare, according to 2 Corinthians 10:8. And what is truly missing today, that I've been saying for years, is a holy fear of God. He's not going to show up if His people aren't real. He's not going to come to a people who are just looking to Him as a sugar daddy to get what they want so they can continue to perpetuate their sin. He's not going to do that. And the answer is not for us to petition legislatures to enact more laws or to ban guns or weapons and stuff. Let's face it. Criminals don't obey the law. So more laws are not the answer. Nor is having more police in our schools to protect our children. And there are some who believe that if I put my kid in private school, it'll be okay. What we have done is put our kids in an open target area because they do not have the resources to protect our kids. And so they're at greater risk than those who are in the public school system. And I'm not talking about education. They receive a better education. At what cost? At what possible cost? You see, I'm concerned about their innocence and having them grow up innocent without the pollution, without all the peer pressure, without all this nonsense that is causing our whole society to go wacko. That's what I'm concerned. I'm concerned for the children. I'm concerned for the grandchildren. I'm concerned for the great-grandchildren. That's where my concern is. As an adult, we should be able to fend off sin. We should be able to recognize what is sinful behavior and cast it off of us. Scripture says, cast off that sin that so easily besets you, so that you may run the race that is before you. And I've said to you, I'm part of the problem too. I'm identifying myself in this. I am convicted. I am convicted. Oh, Lord, forgive us. What is your standard? Is it Cain's standard? Just good enough? Just do enough to get by and move on and think God's going to bless my mess? And when I get to heaven, everything's going to be great, you know. But in the meantime, I'm living in squalor. I'm acting pretentiously. I'm saying and doing things with all the wrong motives in my heart. I dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, think like the world. And it's like, that's a badge. To me, that's stench. If you look through the scriptures and you see how they took care of themselves, and we walk around thinking that personal body odor is okay. Why do you think they had oil and myrrh and perfumes that they were put upon their bodies? Because they wanted to present themselves excellent to God. Because they knew that in their body no good thing dwelt. Christ purchased us, body, soul, and spirit. All of us, all that we are, is His. And we act like we still got this under control. We still act like what we're doing is doing Him a great favor by showing up and pretending we know what we're doing. When the reality is we should be flat on our face, begging Him and crying out to Him for more mercy, for more grace. Jesus said, He said to us, see that you're worthy to enter the kingdom. Just because you're born again doesn't give you a license, a free get out of jail card. You need to maintain and grow up in Jesus Christ, not maintain your sin. We need to seek His face and stop prostituting ourselves by looking elsewhere. I know this is not a typical back-to-school message, but you know, my heart is rent. We're so busy trying to make God fill into our will and then say that it's His will, when the reality is He tells us very clearly what His will is, and yet we do things in such a way that we have this Cain attitude. I'll get to it when I get to it. I'm so busy in my life. Well, we're all busy. None more busier than Jesus, who has the responsibility of this universe to maintain and heaven. And doesn't he teach us to pray, your will be done in heaven as it's done in earth? Now, he tells us, as your will is done in heaven, we need to bring his will to earth. You think his will is for us to be apathetic to the conditions that are going on? We can bellyache all we want about having evil men and women running our government. What are you going to do about it? We can complain about, we don't have this, we don't have that. But if I go to the government, they'll provide for me. They'll take care of it. Who instituted the government to take place of God? We really need to have a spiritual checkup. We really need to repent. We really need to stop being children and start growing up and taking our responsibility seriously. Because what's at effect and what's at stake is the innocence of our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. Because that sin that was there at Adam and Eve is with us today. We need to shut the door so it doesn't come in, and then we need to eradicate it. That's why judgment starts in the house of God. And it can't start until we stop the flood. This coming year, fun and games is over. We're going to be about focusing on winning the lost. But we're going to first be focused about getting right before God. We're not going to play church. There are some serious things that are going wrong in our lives that we really need to take a serious look at. And we need to stop doing what we've known to do and find out what God is saying. You are the future of Streams of Life. Your children are the inheritance of Streams of Life. We need to protect their inheritance. We need to protect them by first getting right with God and being on our knees 24/7. Doesn't the scripture say, pray always, lifting up holy hands before God without doubt or wrath? We need to repent of our prayerlessness. We need to repent of a prayer life that is catch God on the fly. We need to stop pretending and be real. Let's take the mask off and let's be real. We're messing up. We're it's not working for us. And the problem is, God wants to deliver us. I'm going to leave the altar open. You want to get real with God, you don't have to come forward or anything, but really take to heart. You know, I struggled this week, and this is what God has really given to me, that we have a generation, we have an opportunity to turn this thing around. But the only way it's going to turn around, and study 2 Chronicles 7:14. He's not going to hear us until we repent. We need to throw our agendas down and pick up a piece of paper and allow him to start telling us what he wants done. And then do it. That's what faith is all about. Only when we begin to enact his word into our lives will apathy go. Apathy is killing us right now. We think that we don't have anything to do. But faith is always moving forward. We didn't get here without faith, and where God's taken us, it's going to require even more. It's going to require building our faith. And in my studies of revival and what's going on, we're praying about a revival, but there's also an onus on the people of God coming together, praying and seeking Him, and then purposefully going out to build bridges to those who haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ, to those who are still captive in darkness.